Splash, play. Splash your sails, splash your sails. Play with Amy, Quinn Lee. Splash your sails, starting now with Amy, Quinn Lee. Go! What up, fools? Welcome to the Splash Your Sails podcast. I'm your host, Amy Quinn Lee, and we are here to recap Jeff Lewis Live for the week of June 10th to June 14th. Motherfuckers, weep, weep, boop, beep, ba, beep, ba, dee, da, dee, da. But first, just because I find this so fascinating, you guys, talk about a psychology course for the ages. Oh my gosh, I know that they already have college courses like based on Harry Potter or Taylor Swift, and you like dissect all of that, but they could have an entire degree now in just like Bravo reality TV. So Summer House specifically, again, this is just so crazy. Now, my friend has never seen Summer House and also never seen Vanderpump Rules. Talk about crazy. And so she downloaded both to our shared Plex account. Fucking love Plex. If you don't know what it is, I don't really either. I just know that I can request anything in this world. And her husband and her like magically found a portal to the black market. And I can watch it all. Watch it all, Bethany. No, but I will mention how... So she tried to watch Vanderpump Rules from season one, and she was like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, this is awful. And I was like, okay, I can kind of see why you would see if you weren't in Vanderpump from the beginning. I mean, to me, it's still classic. It's a classic. It's like, it's a wonderful life, you know, to the older generation. That's their classic. To my generation, Laguna Beach, The Hills, Vanderpump Rules. Those are ours, all right? And don't say that yours are better, older generation, because if you were part of our generation, then you would agree with our taste. You know, it just is what it fucking is. Birds of a feather flock together. Generations of fish swim into a dish. I don't know. But so anyways, my whole point is that I told her to watch Summer House instead because it's much more our vibe. And I rewatched it starting with season one so that I could have fresh eyes to like see what she would be watching. Oh my God, you guys. All right. So first of all, just in the sense of psychology course, because that's how I started this rant. It's wild how much people don't change. People don't change. It's kind of terrifying, actually, because even though we really do, and we work on ourselves, and we go to therapy, and all of that, and you definitely try to change and make the baby steps. Shout out to Dr. Leo Marvin. If you haven't seen What About Bob, what the fuck are you doing this weekend? Popping that shit in? Probably not. On my Plex account, so I could if I wanted to, thanks to my friend. Oh my God, I really love having smart fucking friends that know all that shit. And like, you know, they're like, oh, just you need a terabyte of this and then we'll link your account into the end. You're just like, okay, all right, if I can watch literally whatever at my fingertips, sure. So anyways, yeah, people don't change. It's very terrifying. And what I mean by that is like, now you're watching Summer House in today's day and age because they just wrapped up their reunion last night. And since the beginning of Summer House, probably 10 years ago, to last night, like the same people are dealing with the same issues. Oh my, it's so scary. Carl, he's always struggled with holding down a job. Like that is all like him and a job. That's always been his story and like, and relationships being fucked up with that. Kyle has always struggled with intense binge drinking. He puts Jeff Lewis even to shame. And Kyle also loves cheating on Amanda and making out with random girls. That hasn't changed. There was just an article the other day that he potentially, like, he's a DJ now and he's allegedly making out with girls in Charleston, South Carolina. And when you watch them, Amanda and Kyle, going through their fight. They never stopped fighting. I'm like, why is everybody celebrating the fact that Lindsay and Carl didn't get married? Like, Andy mentioned it 50,000 fucking times during the reunion. Like, thank God you guys didn't get married. And you guys were actually going to walk down the aisle? You were really going to go through with this shit show? And it was just like, why? Where was this energy for Kyle and Amanda? Who the fuck let them get married? I'm sorry, but this goes back to what we were talking about last week with what's love got to do with it? What the fuck does love have to do with it? Because Amanda is so in love with Kyle, but he is he's a cheating baby. Like, he's a cheating child. Like, I don't know. For her to now finally, like, if she ever does leave him or whatever their situation is, she can't be like, oh my gosh, I just can't believe he never changed. It's like, why would you think people would change? Like, you shouldn't expect that people will change. Like, they won't, you know, at the core of it, we're all just fucked up little flesh monsters waddling around this planet. No, but it was just like, you could see, it was crazy. You could see in season two, line for line, Lindsay and Carl talking about themselves and their own dating lives. And like, you can see the future problems that they're going to have together. You can see Lindsay, she has always struggled with the most intense fighting with whoever she's dating at the time. She has her long-term boyfriend, Everett, they fight all the time. They break up. Then Paimon, there's this random guy that she goes on a few dates with, and just a few dates, and they're screaming at each other. They're screaming at each other over FaceTime. I'm like, what could you possibly be fighting with? He's still a stranger to you. Like, what? I've never even fought like that with anybody. Like, it's just wild to watch it unfold. And that is why reality television is so fascinating to me in so many ways. Even podcasts, like hearing people share genuine dreams for their life or genuine hopes and fears and all of that or whatever, and then watching their life manifest throughout the years and going back and then seeing how it is today. It's, yeah, forget about a course in it. That's what I'm saying. You could have a full degree because the psychology behind it, it's like truly studying humans at its finest. Or, I mean, you could argue at our worst, but whatever. But even if somebody's struggling with fertility or something and you're like, oh my gosh, just wait, like in 5 years, you're going to have two kids and they're going to be the best things ever. Like, it's just so cool to get to reflect on people's lives. So if you're like me and you have too much time in your own life, I highly suggest rewatching Summer House if you're not watching Bridgerton, because I guess hot take, personal opinion, it's just my opinion. But season three, this girl Penelope in it, we're supposed to believe that she's like this little redhead and like very pretty, but we're supposed to believe that she snagged the most eligible bachelor in the land. And it's just not, and nothing about it is believable. Like, even the acting, I don't believe, it looks to me like two characters pretending to be in love, not two people being in love. And that's how actors are supposed to make you feel. And also, this girl, Penelope, the only facial expression she has during this entire season, I guess sometimes she smiles and laughs, but the rest of the time, she looks like you're dangling her favorite childhood, like, teddy bear right in front of her face with a pair of garden shears. And you're threatening to, like, cut his head off. She just looks like scared and horrified, like throughout the whole season, and just heavy breathing so that her giant bosoms flap in the wind. And they're very mesmerizing. So if you don't watch it, well, then maybe you watch Real Housewives in New Jersey instead, because this week, you guys, wait, this was so crazy. Okay, so one of the girls, Danielle, one of the housewives, she's doing a little kids fashion show in New York Fashion Week, and because she has a clothing store. And so she has all these little models, and it's so cute to watch all of that. But oh my God, Danielle. So she bends down to this one little girl model, and she goes, She's like, why are you being so serious right now? I gotta make you smile. I'll crack a fart in your face if I have to. You guys, she said that to a child on national television. She told a child she was going to crack a fart in her face. Oh my God. If I was a kid and some adult leaned down into my face and said if I don't smile that they were going to crack a fart in it, I would... I'd be like, lady, I'm gonna crack your fucking kneecaps if you don't get the fuck off and away from me. Like, if the kid is already not outgoing, then like, I don't think threatening them with cracking a fart in the face is gonna help. But what a beautiful reality TV moment. All right, that's enough of a random reality TV recap rant that I really had to go on for no reason other than the fact that Julie and Brandy randomly mentioned on Juicy Scoop this week that they were rewatching Summer House. And I was like, what are the chances that I would randomly be rewatching it at the same time as BJ is? Of course. Birds of a feather flock together yet again. Moving on to the Monday episode. We're going to crack a fart in Jackie Schimmel and John Hill's face. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to take a while to recover from that one. All right, so this week we start off by quarreling, an office quarrel. I'd rather an office squirrel, but that's just me. A quarrel about making coffee in the office at the same time as everyone. Like, Jeff is so mad that other people make coffee around 8:55 or people try to clean the machine. And he's like, what the fuck? You know that that's the exact moment that I'm trying to make my espresso. And it was just like, what the fuck? Well, who even drinks office coffee? I thought... Don't we avoid that shit? Don't you go to your local craft coffee brewers to get a $7 cup like everybody else? I was just very surprised that they were fighting over an office coffee maker. Says no one ever, even if it's your nicest one. I mean, first of all, if it's one of their bevy machine, if it's something like that for the millionth time, you guys, who's cleaning those fucking pipes? Who the fuck is cleaning those pipes? Surely not John Hill. He's busy cleaning other people's pipes. Okay, so then we find out that the 7th floor at SiriusXM, though, they have a next level break room or... I don't know what kind of, they have an entire gymnasium, it sounds like. There's a basketball court, ping pong table, foosball table, cornhole, bada bada beepa, boopa, and kombucha on tap. So Jackie was like, well, I mean, this floor that we're on right now, this one's great too. It has Pringles sometimes. That's exciting. And Jeff was like, yes, sometimes. But what you have to do is if you find them and you're lucky enough to spot them in the wild, then you got to shove them in your purse so that you can save them for later because they're always not available. And it made me think of something that I have been thinking about way too often, because there's been a lot of like celebratory parties and big events going on. Specifically family events, which would gross Jeff Lewis out, according to the Thursday episode, I believe it was. We'll get to that. Jeffrey. So I was at a party the other day, and they had, like, wicked good bagels, like, amazing bagels. The only thing is, I wasn't in the mood at the moment for a bagel. I already ate them, or I didn't know there was going to be such good food and all that, so I didn't have a bagel, but I wanted one desperately, and I wanted that one, like, it looked so good, and I was like, why, what would be the difference in me like wrapping that up and taking it home with me and having it tomorrow when I at my tummy, there's room for me to digest it. Like, since I've filled it to the brim with home fries at this point, I'm a bowl of potatoes, a bowl of morning potatoes, top of the morning potatoes to you, lassie. But it was like, why can't I just why can't there be takeout dishes for me to be able to take stuff home from this party, food home? Or like, why is it weird if I did take that bagel home with me? Because that would be fucking weird. But I don't want to go to the store and buy a whole thing of bagels, and I don't want to go out and buy one. I just want this one bagel. I just want it tomorrow morning. And if I'm at this party right now, technically I could have eaten it. This could have been my bagel. So why can't I just take it and make it my bagel tomorrow morning? So normalize leftover, having like takeout dishes and letting your guests bring food home from your parties. Except I guess that doesn't apply in Los Angeles because there is no food at parties because everybody is on Ozempic. Okay, so moving on in JLL, Jackie Schimmel was getting a billboard in Times Square and for the Bitch Bible, her podcast, and there was a glitch in the system, a glitch for the bitch, and her ad didn't appear for a while, or it appeared earlier. I don't know, whatever. She missed it. And she didn't even want to go to New York in the first place to see its debut. In her head, she was like, ew. Well, not even in her head. She said this out loud. Like, ew, who the fuck would leave their family to go see their own name up in the bright lights? Like, I'm not that fucking self-absorbed. I don't need to pull a Countess Luann and take pictures in front of my billboard. Cut to one martini later. She's like, why the fuck wouldn't I go to New York? I'm getting a fucking billboard, bitch. I'm in Times Square. And so we're getting first class tickets, baby. Private jet to NYC. Now, last week we talked about the power of music. The power of music with Miss Pat. Can't buy me love. No, that wasn't it. Once love got to dur with there. That's the one. So this story this week, though, with Jackie Schimmel, that's just a testament to the power of alcohol. The power of alcohol. Anyone who gives up alcohol, like, I'm not saying to binge drink like Kyle Cook all the time and make out with people who aren't your wife, allegedly. Probably not. I really hope that divorce announcement comes soon but Amanda's so fucking in love with this kid. But again, just go back to Miss Pat. Like, just because you're in love with somebody doesn't mean that it's good, doesn't mean that you're gonna live your happiest, best life. She keeps on being like, but he's my best friend. Wasn't that in like a movie where she was like, I can't go to him because he's the one hurting me, but he's the one I want to go to because he's my best friend. And it's like, it's time for a new best friend, my love. I get it. You're so in love with him. I promise you'll love another dick. I promise. It'll happen. I swear. Well, that's the beauty of, again, reality TV. I guarantee in 10 years, and the beauty of podcasting, we can listen back to this episode and be like, oh my God, Amy was fucking right. She was walking right this whole time, even though we already know that. But okay, what was this whole point about? Probably nothing. The power of alcohol. Okay, so if you need to be sober because you're an actual addict, like, God bless you, and I truly wish you the best. Otherwise, this is such a good example of how a little bit is like great medicine. And if you have social anxiety, having 20 drinks, bad. Having two could be great for you. For Jackie, this didn't really seem to work out in her favor. But like, just the fact that one martini could all of a sudden make her that much more sociable, motivated, all of the things, like it literally gave her the power and the strength to go book a ticket to Times Square and sit in a crowded, smelly place with a bunch of fans that she had to end up like buying them snacks because they waited out there for 3 hours and nothing showed up. No billboard appeared. So again, it didn't exactly work out for Jackie, but just got to give alcohol a shout out for motivating people sometimes. Just a shot of whiskey makes the medicine go down. Isn't that the song? Okay, so then on JLL, we find out why Jeff has been kind of icing the producers lately, especially Oscar, who might not be a producer over at JLL for long. Looks like someone's trying to jump ship to the John Hill show. Dun, 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 dun. And Jeff was getting very, like, territorial and like, you're my producer. And Oscar was like, yeah, but I've also always been working on the John Hill show too. I just do the pre-show stuff and I really enjoy doing the actual show stuff. And Jeff's like, yeah, but you can't actually be both of our producers, so fucking pick right now which one you're gonna choose. I felt like Oscar was like a little puppy, and both of Jeff and John were like the owners, like both quarreling for the puppy. And they're like, Oscar, come to me. Oscar, come to me. And the other one's like, no, Oscar, come over here. And Oscar's like, where do I go? Except Oscar already, he's going to the John Hill. He's going to John Hill. We know that. But I just wanted to know and ask, is this perhaps a quality, a side effect of our disorders, ADHD and OCD, which I know that Jeff Lewis has as well. And I, just like Jeff Lewis, can get a bit territorial with people, with humans, not with actual territories. But yeah, I wonder, like, can Jeff ask Dr. Donna about that? Because I'd like to get free medical knowledge through him. Not that I should trust any medical advice that comes from JLL. All right, moving on to the Tuesday episode. Now I'm going to keep today's recap short because we got Brad Williams in the house, motherfuckers. Whoop, whoop. And Justin Martindale, hopping down that big dick trail. Okay, so obviously the elephant in the room, Brad is a comedian, also a little person. Now, he doesn't mind the word, I don't even want to say it, you guys. I don't want to get in trouble. I feel like he can say it, but I can't. It's it starts with an M and it rhymes with fidget. So, but Brad doesn't want that word to have any power over him. So, you know, you kind of reclaim it. And it's kind of like redheads not minding if you call them gingers, or like me, I'll be the first one to call myself a ginger, because you gotta own it first and take away the power of other people. A fire crotch, go and sip another scotch. Like, you know, you gotta beat people to the punch. And by the way, I'm strawberry blonde. I call myself ginger because I have a sibling who has actual like dark red hair and like is a ginger. But and so growing up, we were just lumped together, the ginges. And Toby, I'm blonde, bitch. Okay, so but Brad finds out then that Jameson, the other ginger, a real ginger, he was crazy how his name could be Jameson and he could be a ginger. Like, Jameson is just the most classic Irish name. Of course, Irish Jameson is going to be named Jameson. How much more Irish could you get? Turns out 100%. Turns out Jameson could be 100% more Irish, because right now he's zero. He's 0%. What the fuck? It turns out he's Italian? 100% Italian stallion. The ginger Italian stallion. What the motherfuck in the fucking fucker fucks is going on in this goddamn place? Truly never been more flabbergasted in my life. I guess here's the thing, like I think Jameson's confused. I don't know if he took a 23andMe and his mom like swapped out the results in the mailbox or something so that he would never find out her secret. And I'm so sorry to accuse your beautiful mother of anything, Jameson, but truly to be a ginger with freckles and say you're 100% Italian. And he was like, haha, those recessive genes just really coming through. And I'm like, but if you're 100% Italian, there is no recessive genes. What are you talking about? There is no ginger. No, you would have all the big D's, the big D for big dominant, not little R for recessive. Okay. So I guess now we know for sure that Jameson doesn't have the big D. He doesn't have a big D in sight. Again, as I'm cackling away, I'm like the most recessive gene human around. Oh my God, so funny. But all I could think when Jameson was like, no, I'm actually 100% Italian. In my head, it was the Megan Weaver sound clip. Lie, 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 lies. Lie, 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 lie. It's been far too long since we've heard that one. Okay. Also, speaking of the M word that also rhymes with fidget, when I lived in Montana, now I can't confirm this, but nobody in town denied it. There's one time a year when there's like M word tossing at the bar. You could say that the people were trolling me and I'm just really gullible to believe them, but I think it was true. I think so. Is that a thing? M word, and they just like toss them around at the bar. And people wanted me to go that night. And I was like, I don't want to. That doesn't sound like something I would ever, I don't know. That sounds awful. And they were like, no, the little people love it. And I was like, I don't think they do. But maybe they do. I don't fucking know. Maybe one day we'll find out. Okay, so next on JLL, we go on a small Peter Dinklage rant. And Brad Williams is like, what the fuck, Peter Dinklage? Why the fuck did you have to fuck up Snow White for us? Like, you complained about little people being cast as the dwarves. So now, after they released the picture from the live-action movie, it looks like the Island of Misfits coming marching down a hill. It looks awful, says Brad. You guys, I said this when it first came out, but it's still so funny to me. Okay, all you have to Google is like new Snow White dwarves and then go to images, and there's a shot where it's a little more cropped and there's like a little person leading the way. But in the more zoomed out picture, there's somebody dressed in blue that's leading the pack. And I swear to God, if you look at that picture, the person leading the pack dressed in blue is Miranda Hobbs. It looks like Miranda Hobbs is leading the dwarves through this meadow. Like, it just... Oh my God, I just had to mention that because it's clearly hilarious to me. Okay, so then on JLL, we talk about the big three, the big 3D, the big bad three, the big three dwarves. For real, the big, like, the three biggest dwarves in Hollywood: Peter Dinklage, Brad Williams, and Wee Man. Now, riddle me this. Riddle me why, even for little people, the actors to get the most notoriety are all three old white dudes. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? I know that there's a black little person who's in so many movies. I'm sorry, I don't know his name. Tony Cox. That's who it is. Yeah, I would argue that he would be one of the three big three. So I don't know who we're kicking out of that lineup, but I would like a little more diversity. Also, where are the millennial little people? Where are the Gen Z little people? What? I just can't think of like a Brat Pack version of little people that have taken over Hollywood the same way that it was when it was like Peter Dinklage, Wee Man, Brad Williams, Vern Troy, Tony Cox, like all of them. Where's the young group of it? Also, speaking of the Brat Pack, because I did watch that documentary on Hulu. Obviously, I just fucking consume content like it's free calories. But the Brat Pack documentary is so fucking funny to me because the entire fucking movie is about how these actors were so offended by being called brats, and they spent like 50 years with like the most resentment ever for Hollywood calling them brats and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this whole movie, you guys sound like such brats complaining about it. It's so stupid. They all like turned on each other instead of just like laughing it off and like Brad Williams does, you take the power back with it. And like, if I was in the Brat Pack, if I was Molly Ringwald's ginger replacement, I would make fucking Brat Pack shirts and me and my bratty bitches would fucking rock that shit. Like, what do you mean it like affected you guys so much? And you were like, oh my God, everyone thinks we're brats now. This is the worst thing ever. And I'm like, you guys are such brats. Oh, it's just so ironic. It was hilarious to me. Okay, so moving on in JLL. Now, Brad gets very animated. I'm not one to talk, but Brad is like aggressively animated. I guess, again, I'm not one to talk, but I don't know. You could just tell there's like a lot of rage within his soul. And fair enough, when you fucking hear about his childhood and how his dad basically ran a boot camp instead of like Tiger Woods' dad, who at starting at 2 years old had him running drills all the time, golf, 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 this, blah, blah, blah. Brad, he was stuck getting insulted by his dad as he gets boot camped into a stand-up comedian. It was literally like instead of Tiger Woods having to take 50 putt shots before he could have breakfast, it was like Brad Williams had to get absolutely roasted by his dad, by his own fucking flesh and blood that created him, that caused him to be like this. And he would just hurl insult after insult. And until Brad could finally come up with a comeback and make him laugh back, then he could finally have some scrambled eggs. Oh my God. Or have his Wheaties, because apparently his parents thought that he would grow much bigger than he would. So they basically held him back in kindergarten because he was so small. And looking back on it, he was like, why the fuck would you make that decision? Like, I'm going to be small my entire life. Spoiler alert, that's one of the side effects of being a little person. But still, that was one of the major fuck-ups his parents did in his childhood. And the second one was that they switched him from being left-handed to right-handed, which could have potentially, allegedly made him stutter. Stutter? Okay. So he was like, yeah, no, my parents, they did great. It was amazing, amazing. But there was just these two huge gaffoos. Snafus? I like gaffoos better. These two huge gaffoos that I'll now resent them forever and ever for every fucking day of my adulthood. Like, he was saying with his own kid, it makes him so scared to do anything wrong or do anything that might cause the butterfly effect and have her be like, oh my God, this fucked up my childhood because you did this to me, Dad. And it's like, yeah, Brad, that's why we give people grace. That's why you give your parents grace and you're not like, the biggest fuck-ups of my life, they held me back from kindergarten and they made me left-handed right. Okay, what if that was their biggest fuck-ups? Great. And I know that you've already basically said that and you're like, I know, Amy, it is fine that those were their biggest fuck-ups. And I'm like, yeah, but why do you keep reminding them about it? Like, let it go, let it. It was fucking kindergarten, bitch. Like, it was your kindergarten. You want to talk about shit that you could hold on to? Bitch, we can go toe to toe. We can't go head to toe because I have a lot more space in between my head and toe, so that we wouldn't have enough time for that. But we can go toe to toe. And yeah, I can trade things. That's why, again, I just don't have much empathy for Meghan Markle, who just wants to sparkle. But it's like, we all have family issues, and for you to have cut off your dad who raised you from the beginning just because of a stage paparazzi, even again, if he did a million interviews, like, you can still text him a picture of Archie every now and then, god damn it. As if I know anything about their actual lives. But what I do know is that when Brad says, like, oh my God, now I'm so scared to make mistakes, it's like, you're going to make mistakes. You just hope that they won't go on a podcast or on a radio show in front of millions of live listeners 40 years from now and scold you in front of everybody about the fact that you held them back in kindergarten. Who gives a fuck? We should have all held them back in kindergarten. I wish I could still be in kindergarten. I wish they would send me back right now to... Ah, so yeah. Give people a little more grace so that they're not fucking scared to live and make mistakes with their own. Like, there's going to be robots that take over eventually. We get that. Right now, as humans, one of the ways to tell that you're actually a human is that you'll make mistakes, Brad. Forgive your fucking parents. And they made you ambidextrous, all right? Have some fucking gratefulness. Moving on to the Wednesday episode. We had Kelly Dodd on the pod. And Rick Leventhal. Top of the morning to you, Rick. Rick Ross. All right, so Jeff is appalled. This is what I was talking about in the beginning of Splash Assess this week, how I had family events. So does Shane, I guess. Shane has a lot of family events that have occurred in the past couple months, and he's been bringing his boyfriend Brogan, of course. Why wouldn't you? That's the fucking point of having a significant other. They show up when you need another. But Jeff does not agree with this at all. He's absolutely appalled. He thinks that Shane is driving this relationship to ruin, absolute ruins, because what boyfriend would want to hang out with family? And Kelly was like, the people that actually love hanging out with their family, because guess what? That actually exists in this world, Jeff Lewis, just because you don't like hanging out with yours. And he was like, it's not that we don't like each other. It's just that we schedule 45 increments of time, because otherwise someone will pull a Lizzie Borden in the Lewis household. And I don't want to manifest that, but you can Google Lizzie Borden. Shout out Rhode Island. Wait, Brad Williams gave a shout out to Rhode Island too, because he was saying if he was a state, then he would be Rhode Island because it's the smallest one. Again, take the power back, brat pack. I can't believe that these bitches were so offended by the brat pack term. So funny. Except Demi Moore. Demi Moore is the only one that was like, ew, I didn't give a shit. I fucking had 20 million other lives after that. Like, I didn't let that sit and affect me for 40 fucking years. Ew, what the fuck? No. I went and married Ashton Kutcher and I take care of Bruce Willis, you know, like I got shit to do than think about the brat pack. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, as you should. She seems fun. Okay, so hanging out with parents, though, who doesn't like hanging out with parents? Like, typically, you get things paid for. You get your meal paid for. You'll go to a nicer restaurant than you would have gone to on your own. You get to drive in a nicer car than you would. Like, everything is nice. You level up when you get to hang out with the parents. Who doesn't love parents? Also, in the game of Am I the Asshole, there was a time when I went out with a roommate and her parents for dinner. She, like, asked me to go out with them, and her parents made us all split the bill. And you might be like, well, Amy, they can't afford it. Yes, they could have. Yes, they could. They were very well off. They were very well off. And they were just those types of parents exist. Like, her parents had an old TV that they were making their daughter buy from them. They, like, she had to pay like $700 for it. Meanwhile, I have like three in my basement right now because people just give me shit. No, I really do have an extra, though, if anyone needs one. No, but I've even had friends in high school, their parents, and again, not because of financial reasons, they had plenty of money, but for principal alone. Fuck your principal. Fuck principals. The world will expect principals out of you. No, if you're with your parents, they should just, like, take care of you, you know? If they can, and they're financially able. But I've had friends in high school who their mom made them buy their own shampoo, conditioner, tampons. I was like, what? What the fuck? Like, as if being a girl isn't awful enough in high school. Now you have to buy your own tampons? And at our job, we were getting like $5.84 an hour at age 15. So she was buying the cardboard. Oh, no. But am I the asshole for getting annoyed that my friend's parents made us all split the bill when we were in like college and they had so much money and they invited me out? It was weird. It was so fucking weird. We're not friends anymore. Not because of that, but that didn't help. No, I'm kidding. I'm literally kidding. Not really. Okay, so also Shane hanging out with Jeff so much. I was like, isn't that kind of like hanging out with his parents? You know, like everything's kind of taken care of. Everything's paid for. He gets rides everywhere. Like that's like the vibe of being with your parents. And that's how Jeff and Shane are. They're dynamic. So But also Jeff was like, it's too much to keep dragging Brogan to things. You keep on being like, let's go hang out with my brother. Let's go stop by my parents. Let's go see grandma and grandpa. Let's go meet the neighbors. It's every fucking day you're talking to people, meeting people. It's like, Jeff, you're literally describing life. Like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, you have to drag Brogan to this and that, like every other week. It's like, yes, my love, that's called life. That is called life. As like Kelly said, when you actually love your family and enjoy your friend, well, yeah, then you're gonna see them every now and again. Who doesn't love hanging out with their parents? Oh, right, probably Jeff, because his dad is a drink counter and Jeff wants to get fucked up and make out with strippers at the Abbey. So we get it. We get why you don't want to hang out with your family, but again, we're all fucking different. Now, it does come full circle towards the end of the show when Jeff realizes he's projecting past relationship trauma, blah, 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 into Shane. 1 point for self-awareness. Okay, moving on in JLL, we talk about our favorite psychic, Scary Sharia. Scary Sherry, Scary Sharia. I will never get over the fact that Scary Sherry's real name is Scary Sharia. But basically, Sharia and Paul have been predicting the same fate for Jeff. And this is just so funny because Kelly was like, oh my God, Jeff, I was talking to your stepmom and she said that your dad hates Scary Sharia because she told him that he's gonna die soon. I was I love Scary Sharia even more now because I don't trust a psychic if they don't do shit like that. Like, that is what you should be doing. You should be letting people know the real deal. So hopefully it's not true, but Jeff does always say she has a great track record with her predictions. So Jeff, maybe you should be hanging out with your family more. Maybe you should be soaking up as much family time as you can while you can. Okay, get what I'm saying? Prayers for Mr. Lewis Sr. Okay, but this was so funny because then Rick was like, wait, have you ever heard of the Psychic Sisters? And Kelly was like, oh my God, yes, she is amazing. We had her on our podcast and she gave us all these predictions that were so accurate, blah, 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 blah. I was like, she was like, you just said sisters. Plural, psychic sisters. It was a catchy name. That's why I remembered it. Now you're talking about her in the singular. How do we go from psychic sisters to psychic sister? How do they pick which one goes to the show to do the podcast? Like, why wouldn't they be traveling together if they are sister? Now I have questions about these traveling psychic sisters. So I guess my mind will always have to wander about that. All right, moving on to the Thursday episode. We had Mindy Cohn and Michael Hitchcock. Hitch a ride on that cock, will ya, my lad? Now, they talk about having shows on Amazon Freebie and how they need to shop around. They need to shop their shows around in case Amazon doesn't exist one day. Freebie, their funding for their shows. And Mindy was like, yeah, but you're getting a season 3 of Hollywood Housewives, right, Jeff? Because they would be idiots not to have you back. Fucking idiots. I was like, Mindy, do you remember last season on Hollywood Housewives when we had Jeff remodel 10 square feet of Kate Bosworth's backyard? Of her one little corner of her backyard as she talked to him through a motherfucking iPad? An iPad? That's the show that you want Amazon Freebie to thrust all their money into? Dump all their money into? No, they're going to take a dump on Jeff's contract instead and move the fuck out on. Like, I'm so sorry. I love you, Jeff. You know that. But if you want to rebrand your reputation as this calm, patient, normal-ass designer, that's just not the right formula for great reality TV. That might be great in your real life, but again, for reality TV, I'm pulling a Vicky Gumbelson. I love you, but it's the fucking truth. So yeah, it just wouldn't be that unbelievable for Amazon to invest their money elsewhere. Unless it was like Jeff, his interior designs had some crazy element to it. You know, like it was like a tree trunk with a hollow tree trunk that's turned into an aquarium in the middle of their room. And so I don't fucking know. I don't know. But it's just like, all these modern LA homes, they all have the same vibe and it all just looks like West Elm. So like, it's not that I'm saying Jeff isn't an amazing interior designer or even pushing trends or whatever, but you see so much of it on all these real estate shows that it's not different enough to like really captivate the audience. That's my opinion. So many Vicki Gunvalson quotes today. Okay, moving on actually to one of our co-stars. On Friday's episode, we had Tamra Judge and Eddie Judge. The Judges. Ha, that's so funny. That really is such a great show name. Okay, so we talk about flash mobs this Friday eve. I guess morning for them. But Jeff reminds us that Josh Flagg, wait, what the fuck? I totally forgot about this. Josh Flagg proposed to Bobby Boyd, not to be confused with Polly Connell, Dolores Catania's boyfriend. Again, his Instagram bio picture. He's trying to be Bobby Boyd, you guys. It's giving such John Jansen vibes, paired with their storyline this season on Ronge, Real Housewives in New Jersey. I'm very worried. Polly doesn't seem like the greatest lassie in all the land, if you ask me, but you didn't, so kiss me arse, Lars. Okay, but Josh Flagg proposed to Bobby Boyd via Flash Mob in 2012. And Tamra Judge, really living up to that last name. She was like, ew, what the fuck? Who gets engaged via Flash Mob? And I was like, says the lady who got engaged via clamshell. You remember that? In Real Housewives of Orange County, I swear, Eddie, like they were on a Mexican getaway or something, and he cracked open an oyster, and instead of a mother of pearl, he was asking her to be the mother of his dogs for life. So really, I don't know if you're the one to judge, because your ring was in a clamshell, ma'am. I mean, cute in theory, cute in whatever, but like, that could have gone so wrong if Eddie dropped that shit in the ocean. Oh my God. Keeping Up with Kardashians, that moment where Kim loses her earring in the ocean. Yeah, it would have been that all over again. But those Caribbean sea man animals, they must be so blinged out. They scoop up all of the rich people's lost diamonds and they're just turtles like glitzing around them. Tennis bracelets galore, all diamond, 50 carat. Okay, so then we talk about how Tamra and Eddie are basically locals now in Big Bear. It's this small ski town, also a boating town, also a lake town, electric bike riding town. It sounds like a great town, if you ask me. It also sounds like Kyle Richards' dream. What are you talking about? This is all Kyle Richards wanted from Mauricio, is what Tamra is now getting from Eddie, which is a partner who will actually leave the limelight behind and just go live real life and go on a boat in the middle of a lake somewhere and just enjoy your beautiful life. Like, that is what Kyle wanted from Mo, and Mo just wanted Mo out of life. He just wanted Mo hoes, Mo drinks, Mo champagne, Mo problems, Mo money. So yeah, it was just fascinating that like Tamra's living Kyle, because Kyle was like, I just want to paddleboard down a river. And Tamra's like, all Eddie and I do is paddleboard down the river. And I was like, let Kyle join. She can join for a throuple, right? I feel like they'd all be down for that. They'd all be down. That could be fun. Okay, so lastly, Jeff talks about how good it was for Tamra to have a pause from Real Housewives of Orange County. She probably wouldn't have ended up in Big Bear in the first place. So honestly, maybe Kyle Richards should put herself... No, I guess Mauricio needs to put himself on pause from buying Beverly Hills. Okay, but so Jeff and Tamra, they were saying how it can become all too consuming when you're filming these shows. And Jeff was like, look, now that you've had a 2-year break, you've had the time and space to rearrange your priorities, take new opportunities. Like, it was a great thing for you in the long run. And on that note, like, literally everything that they talked about is the exact reason. Maybe I should have started the show with this in case some fools don't listen to the end. But if so, shame on them. Shame on them. But this is actually going to be the last Splash Assess episode. Oh my God, I've loved doing this so much, you guys. I've had the best time, but for all the reasons they were talking about, like maybe one day coming back in a different form, but for now, recapping Jeff Lewis live every week, it's on pause, maybe forever, who knows. But all I know is that I am so fucking appreciative that you guys have listened this long. I've had the best fucking time. I love you all forever and ever and ever, and I hope that you guys have the best lives, and maybe we'll come back a year from now and we'll all catch up on all the things that haven't changed. Because again, do humans ever change? That is like my thesis of life that I am so curious, so curious. For now, I know I haven't changed, and it's Friday afternoon and I need a motherfucking margarita, okay? Margarita. Okay, so yeah, I just love you forever and I'm grateful and I love you and I love you. Bye.
Splash, splash, play. Splash your sails. Splash your sails.